All right, we're talking Fish Fest. We're talking Salmon-O-Rama, which is used for a while there. It was called something else. We're going to talk about that in a moment here. And Josh Sopcich is here. He is the president of Salmon Unlimited, which runs Salmon-O-Rama. And he brought his daughter along today, who really does all the labor and the hard work.
That's right.
And Lily is here as well. And so just because it dawned on me just now, it was called something else for 2 years. What was it called?
Big One.
The Big One.
The Big One.
Yeah, who decided that change should happen?
Don't know. It was before me, and the conversion back to Salmon-O-Rama is also before me.
That person was banished to Siberia, and we're never going to be heard from again. All right, so Salmon-O-Rama starts actually tonight at midnight. Well, the festival starts today, but the actual fishing festival at midnight.
Correct, yes.
How do you know people aren't cheating and starting at 11 o'clock?
That's a great question.
Yeah. No, we do what we can on an honor system.
You have the fish police out there watching?
Yeah. The community does share intel. So if we do have suspicious activity, it is actually reported into us and we can investigate.
Yeah, you snitches all over, huh?
We've got a network.
Okay. So people think you could just fish right off the Racine area, but actually it's the whole Great Lakes, right?
Correct. It's all of Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan.
And all of its tributaries up to the first bridge. So in Racine, you can feasibly fish the harbor up to the Main Street Bridge. Same with Milwaukee with the Hone.
So how far north can you go?
The entire Lake Michigan. So Sturgeon Bay, we have a way station in Gladstone, Michigan in the UP. We've got way stations in the Michigan side as well. There's, I think, 3 or 4 different ports with way stations there. Down in Illinois and Winthrop Harbor, we have
one. Oh, really? Because you don't have to come back here to get weighed.
Correct.
Okay.
One of the beauties of our tournament is we have a longstanding member whose son is a software engineer. He designed a full contest operating program that allows us to link all of our ports better than any of the other fishing tournaments out there for live inputs of all the fish, so you can see live as fish come in where you stand in the rankings.
Oh, that's pretty neat. That, unlike the old days when you had to see the leaderboard,
yeah,
somebody riding
physical
with chalk.
Leaderboard, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And people rushing down to Racine on the final day to get that fish in before 11 a.m. cutoff.
It's cool to watch it actively moving. You can just stand there by the screen and watch the leaderboard update, and you can see the different pages. So it's not just a leaderboard, it's got subsections.
Now, give me a little history of Salmon-O-Rama, because not everybody knows the history. Newcomers don't know. All of a sudden they hear, what's this salmon, what? Okay, so the history of it?
Yeah, first of all, the salmon history, they were introduced back in the 60s on the Michigan side. There was a passionate fisherman who had also a little bit of history in the DNR side, and made a suggestion that we should bring in coho salmon to help control the alewife, the invasive alewives, that if you remember, they used to take a bulldozer to clean off the beaches every year after the alewives would go and spawn. They would die off and be a foot deep on the beach smelling up. So they started with these coho. It went great. They added Chinook salmon, and our club was formed in 73 to focus on the fishery and water safety. And in 74, another group in town, the Tuesday Optimist Club, formed Salmon-O-Rama as a festival and a fishing tournament just here in Racine. And that event sprawled out into something massive. I'm still trying to figure out who got the tank down there. There was a great overhead picture taken from a prop plane, propeller plane, that had a tank sitting at the boat launch at 5th Street down there. I'd like to have one back if anyone has a connection.
Can you get one?
Yeah, we'd like to have that dropped off, but that sprawled out into a huge festival for the community. And as the Tuesday Optimist Club waned out, Salmon Unlimited offered to step up and take over because we were concerned about keeping the fishing tournament going. And we brought back the festival back in 2024 for its 50th anniversary. It's our third year back and stronger than ever.
So this is where people get confused. They hear Salmon Unlimited.
Yes.
And that's the organization that runs.
Correct, yes.
Now, what else do you do? Is it just Salmon-O-Rama?
No.
I stepped on sacred ground here. I'm sorry.
Well, and it's a wonderful question to ask because we're known for Salmon-O-Rama. They are parallel to each other. When we're handing out flyers in the parade, no one knows the name Salmon Unlimited, as you mentioned. But Salmon Unlimited is the organization, the nonprofit behind it. We do a lot of public outreach, community outreach, grants to other community organizations, public safety. We installed the life rings on the South Pier for Racine County. In fact, 2 days after we installed those a few years back, a lady fell in the water and one was used to rescue her. And it made the news out of Milwaukee. You can still, if you Google it, you can still get the live interview where Jim's being interviewed after the effect, talking about it. We installed a weather buoy 6 1/8 miles out that gives wave conditions, water temperature, and everything. So it's helps with not only boater safety, but also shore safety. If you're seeing waves coming out of the east, you should be extremely cautious about swimming down at the lakefront because of the potential for undertows. We give grants to everything from Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin to local domestic abuse centers, particularly the women's domestic abuse centers. We've done Kids for Toys for Tots, a lot of different grants programs. We've issued out scholarships to individuals who've applied. But this program, Salmon-O-Rama, aside from being a wonderful fishing tournament that, like, for those that like to fish, the proceeds of this event help fund all those outreach efforts that we do for our community.
See, I don't think anybody knows that. You got to get the word out about that.
We, you know, we try, but what does everybody remember other than Salmon-O-Rama?
Fish Fest.
Yes.
That's what they remember. And that big fish you always see in the 4th of July parade.
You know, you're going to love it. When you walk in the South Gate at Festival Park this year, directly to the left is the big fish, so you can get your photos with it. Directly ahead of you is the kids' fish pond, where kids will be able to fish for brook trout. And this year we've got special fish marked with tags. So that if you catch one of the 5 special ones, you get a large prize. We got the weigh station.
They're live fish?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They're real.
211 brook trout were dropped into the pool yesterday.
How big is this pool?
16 foot, 42 inch high.
Okay.
We keep it about 40 or 38 inches deep.
Okay. And Lily's in charge of that?
Yes. Yeah. Lily and one Anaya. Of our good friends, Anaya. The two of them have been dedicated to running it since 24, since we brought it back.
Yeah, see, I told you before we went on, I only went fishing once in my life, and it was for Salmon-O-Rama.
Yeah.
And they put me on the boat, and I said, well, I'm not going to put the bait on, you do it. And I put the line in.
And you can only imagine what you're fishing for.
With just a few minutes, I caught a fish. It was nice size. And I said, put him back. I don't want him dead. Just put him back. And it was kind of neat to catch one. They said, you got one. I think there's a guy under the boat who hooked me up to it, but they said no.
You know, we all have a special story from Salmon-O-Rama. Yeah. Lily and I think would agree that we took a young man out who was fishing the shore with his grandfather and camping the traditional style out on the break wall for the whole week. And all they caught was one drum, a rough fish. And so we took him out the next day and caught multiple fish. It was a tough, wavy day. He threw up over the side because of it, but he came back talking about his fish. One of them later in the week turned out to be a coho salmon that was a little over 10 pounds and actually won cash for him, too.
Well, look at that.
That was back in 23.
I don't know the specific year. I just know we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was before the big festival because we were still at the peninsula.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I've been seeing on the news lately that a lot of sharks are moving in on the east coast of the United States. And they showed a hammerhead shark. I had never seen one other than a drawing or a photograph.
Sure. Yeah.
But they actually showed one swimming around over there. And I said, whoa, could you imagine running? Those are really ugly fish. Could you imagine running into one of those when you're
there are two
in the
questions
water?
We get from
the
kids.
Number
yeah,
one
the kids
question
one, that's
on
the number
boat.
One question.
Are there sharks in the lake?
Yeah.
No, it's not salt water.
And it's easily believable, though, when you realize, you know, most people think of a lake, they think of something out in western Racine County, Browns Lake, Eagles Lake, you know, Silver Lake, those types of lakes. Lake Michigan is 79 miles across to the nearest port in Michigan. There are four ports.
And they claim once that it was so frozen over, people were able to walk across the lake to Michigan. That's what they claim.
Yeah. Well, there's portions up north and down south where I could see that happening.
Yeah.
And in severe enough weather. I mean, we've had ice outs pretty deep out onto the lake in the years I've lived in Racine. So I wouldn't be surprised if portions of it might have had that. But you're not going to see anyone do that being that, you know, again, from Racine, 79 miles to the nearest port.
So where do the fish go? Could they withstand that kind of cold?
They lay low.
They like it.
Yeah, so the two basins in the lake are 819 feet deep is the deepest point on the north end. And on the south end here, just near Racine and Kenosha, it gets to just over 400 feet deep. They go to the warmest water they can find. So when it ices out on top, it might be 42, 43 degrees down deep, and that's where they'll lay for the season. And then when it warms up in the spring, the southern end warms up first. They kind of find their way down by Indiana, and they work up the shorelines as it starts to warm up around the lake.
We're talking to Josh Sopchuk. He is the president of Salmon Unlimited, the folks that run Salmon-O-Rama. His daughter Lily's here. She does all the legwork. She does all the heavy lifting. And she's here today to help out. She's the brains of the outfit.
Yeah, we go with that.
Brains, then what does that make him?
No, I was trying to decide what to say about Jim then.
Jim LaFortune is the chairman
of the events. Since you were kind of leading into that, I'm the president of the organization behind it. Jim is the chairman who spearheads the planning for Salmonorama all year round and is basically living down there to help run it.
Yeah.
Well, I called yesterday. I called a number that was given to me. And the guy said, yeah, what do you want? He was out of breath.
That's Jim.
And I said, well, I wanted to talk to. And he said, we're putting stuff together now. I was about to, would you like me to call an ambulance? I mean, what do you need oxygen? What's going on?
You know, with yesterday's, the last 2 days, heat and humidity down there, it was pretty rough. And we didn't have as many people yesterday as we thought we would. So Wednesday, we have our traditional setup night. We had a good turnout, probably 45, 50 of our club members. But there was still more to be done. And so yesterday we were scrambling. I ended up taking a personal day from work because I had a couple things come up. My boat actually had some motor issues and we had to get a lot of this stuff done. So I recruited Lily and a couple of the young friends again and we pulled it off. We're ready to go.
So what do you do in your real life when you're not fishing and having fun?
I give away other people's money and hope to get paid back.
That's a nice job.
I'm a business banker.
He's a banker.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's a nice job.
He says it like that to be funny.
It's true.
It's memorable.
It's funny.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the festival part. We're talking about the fishing part now. Yeah. And onshore at Festival Park, which is actually Rotary Park.
Yeah, it's Rotary Park at Festival Hall.
Right. I know. It's a whole big title. And you can have beautiful weather this weekend for it. It's sunshine all weekend, nice temperatures. So what's on land?
Yes. So
for you land lubbers. And it's not land lovers. It's land lubbers.
Today we fired off at 3 p.m. to start. And I use that term accurately because we've got Broken 45 taking the stage at 4:30. All the games, all the kids' games are going to be open. We've got Blue Sky Bounce Houses coming. The Bounce Houses and the Kids Fishing Pond have a nominal fee for usage, but we also have probably 10 different games available for kids, including skee ball, papa shot, basketball, air hockey, foosball, yard games. Like I said, we'll have music playing casually, but at 4:30, our opening act, Broken 45, which is a group of high school students out of Oak Creek that are playing not only here, but they're also playing State Fair this year. They'll be opening it up under the tent. And then at 7:30, the Cheap Shots are in town. They'll be playing on the main stage, on the Rotary stage, and they'll be playing through the night up until the fireworks.
Yeah, let's talk about the fireworks again.
Yes. Going off with a bang.
Let's talk about those.
Fireworks. The dogs in the neighborhood hiding in closets. And
yes.
You know, you say that, but I've actually got two messages I need to follow up with. People asking if they could bring their dogs down.
I don't know.
Well, that'll be their discretion. Yeah. They might leave before the fireworks start.
Yeah.
But, you know, Festival Park's rules online say one thing about dogs, but then their farmer's market for Saturday, which they organize and run, says that friendly dogs are allowed. So we got to get clarification for them. But I think that dogs, well-behaved dogs, are probably allowed. We'll get back to Patrick on that.
We have a pit bull that comes over every Friday.
Yeah.
Neighbor's a dog. And I went down to the 4th Fest fireworks and my wife was left with Juniper. Juniper went right to the closet. My wife already put a bedding down there.
Yeah.
And she stayed. And here's this ferocious-looking pit bull. And she just laid in the... And she, when my wife left the room, she would come out, poke her nose out, and just go right back into the closet. And I felt terrible.
Yeah.
She's so terrified of any noise. Dogs are like that.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for her.
There was a dog on a charter boat over by Chart Room on the 4th of July when we pulled up.
Yeah.
Completely comfortable with the fireworks. It was amazing.
Just chilling.
And I had to ask him. I said, this doesn't seem normal. He said, yeah, he's pretty special.
Yeah, and they always say give your dog a little bit of Benadryl on the 4th
of
July.
Yep.
And that will...
It does help.
Make them loopy.
Works for me, too.
Okay, so let's talk about the hours for Salmonorama, because it actually runs next week, too, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's this weekend, and give us the hours.
It starts today at 3 p.m., and we'll go till about 10:30, 11 o'clock when the band's done after the fireworks, because they will resume after the fireworks briefly to finish out. And then the rest of the time, it'll be 9 a.m. is typically when we open the gates to start our way in. And, you know, many of the activities are available throughout that, going all the way until 10 p.m. on most nights. On the big band nights, the Fridays and Saturdays, it'll be till 11 p.m.
And it does go through the rest of the week, but the festival part is kind of toned down Monday through Monday through Thursday, right?
Yeah, we have stuff going on, but we did mellow it out just so that we didn't need as many volunteers. We can rotate and give some of them a break. So tonight is going to be lit. It's loaded. There is so much to do. Tomorrow, same thing. We've got two hype crews are act. They tour nationally. There's an opening band again before that. We have our free fish boil tomorrow as well. So that's, I think, at 3 or 4 p.m. that we start serving for the community, a free fish boil, along with everything else going on. Sunday, we have a partnership with the Veterans Outreach Center of Wisconsin, the VOW, and we're hosting a car show with them. They're doing bingo. They're doing meat raffles. And the proceeds of that are going to help the VOW. Again, we run this event to support our community. And some of those funds we keep and then issue out throughout the year, but that one's going directly to them. Monday, we still have one of our club events, which is called Super Sweeps. It's a mini tournament in the morning. Beyond that, it's going to be a little more mellow day. Tuesday also. But then Wednesday, we bring in John 23. It's a youth educational group based out of St. Patrick's Church here in Racine. Youth outreach and development. And they're going to host events in the afternoon. They've got their own band coming in. We're even going to host the Kids Fish Pond on their behalf, where any proceeds for people paying for the fish pond that day will go directly to them as well. Thursday, we have our Paralyzed Veterans Association, PVA, Paralyzed Vets outing. So we take out 30 to 50 vets every year on charter boats in partnership with CNH Case. They take them out fishing. You know, the city of Racine fire and paramedics help load and unload safely those participants and their guests. We have a lunch, a color guard, a band, everything waiting for them, awards afterward, just an event to honor our heroes. And then next week, Friday, and next week, Saturday, just as lit as this weekend. Big bands, all the entertainment. Saturday's got a bags tournament, cornhole, for the, you know, make sure I say it right.
That I yelled at. That I can do.
Yes. So there's a huge cornhole tournament. Probably, if it's not the largest in the state, it might be the second largest, but it is big. It's going from 8 a.m. until like 10 p.m. There's so many teams, professional players coming in. Really cool to check out.
I heard Stewart talking about last year's winner. Was it 30 pounds? Was that what he said?
30? Oh, for the fish?
Yeah.
Oh, last year's was a little lighter. Oh, yeah,
they're usually
38 pounds.
But that's heavy.
Oh, it's heavy, yes. Yeah. But so there's a cycle with the DNR in how many fish they stock between Michigan, Illinois, and Wisconsin. And the last couple of years, they've added a lot more fry, you know, small salmon, coho, and chinook. And so the bait to predator fish ratio is a little stronger, meaning the fish are going to be a little lighter the next couple of years. There's talk about they might taper it down on the number of fish they plant next year. You know, there's a lot of guys joking in our club that this could be the year a brown trout or lake trout wins it again, just because the salmon aren't as large as they, you know, have been over the prior couple of years, where we had a 35-pounder, 38-pounder win it.
Well, thank you guys for coming in. Josh Sopcich, who is the president of Salmon Unlimited that runs Salmonorama, and his daughter Lily, who runs Josh. She's in here as well. Salmonorama starts off today. The fishing tournament at midnight tonight, but the actual festival starts.
Come on down
afternoon.
To the festival, 3 p.m.
Come
and
see
after.
Me at the fish pond.
Okay, thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
Do appreciate it.